I've been on this theme or topic for a long time. It's called the kingdom. And for some reason, I can't get away from it. I don't feel bad about it because Jesus kind of spent his 3 years of ministry on the earth talking about nothing but. So I figure if he can spend 3 years, I can spend 333 years or however long he keeps me around. It's a worthy subject to talk about. And last week I introduced a scripture that was really prompted by the message that Aubrey had. And I call it Keys to Kingdom Living. And I just glanced over it. I think we're going to spend some time, weeks, months, whatever it takes. When we first introduced the kingdom, we spent 26 weeks laying out what is this kingdom that we've been born into. And I really think the next step for God's church is to learn how to function and live in his kingdom on earth. You know, what is this difference in this worldly kingdom and this heavenly kingdom, and how should we be different? So the word says he's given us keys to the kingdom. You know, I can give you all my keys, but if you don't know what they unlock and you don't know how to use them to unlock them, they're of no use to you. And it's really important that we learn how to use the keys that he's given us. So I want to dig into this a little bit more and see where he takes us. We started off in Proverbs 3, verse 5. It says this: "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight." That's out of the NASB. And what we did last week was we looked at meanings of various words within there so we had a better understanding of the scripture. I even did illustrative definitions, right? I thought it was funny because I laid down up here, just so you know, for those of you who weren't here. I did get up. And people were very concerned after about 2 seconds, you know, of whether I would be able to get up. But trust in the Lord with all your heart, I addressed as one of the keys to living in the kingdom of God, right? And we went through the various meanings of trust, which literally meant to throw yourself down upon your face or lie extended on the ground, and I just thought you needed a demonstration of that. But really, what is that saying? Because it's talked about being bold, confident, secure, sure, hopeful, you found refuge or you rely upon. And really what this key is saying is that we have to approach him in a manner, kingdom living, right, where we are completely surrendered, making him our source. You have to understand that. There has to be a full, complete surrender. You don't depend on yourself for anything, but you become dependent on him in everything. Okay? That is what trust in the Lord with all your heart really means. And that place of definition where you're placing yourself in a vulnerable state, you're placing yourself in a state humbly before him, acknowledging that he's God and I'm fully dependent upon him. So I want to dig into that a little bit more because we really just glossed over it. And I really think we need to come to an understanding of how to apply these things to our life so our life brings him glory and honor. So I realized, thinking about this passage, that I missed a word. And I think it's really important that we spend today just talking about that word that I missed. And it all comes into this word trust. And the question is, who do we trust in? See, it doesn't say, trust in God, my Savior. It doesn't say, trust in God, my Father. And I'm not saying we shouldn't trust in those things. I'm just saying what it does or doesn't say. It doesn't say, trust in God, my healer. Trust in God, my provider. It doesn't say any of those things. You could say by implication it has all those things in it, and I would not argue with you. But it says, trust in the Lord. See, it's extremely important in life that you know who you trust in. And many of the wounds we have in life, many of the hurts, many of the disappointments, because we thought we knew who we were trusting in until they caused a hurt or a disappointment or a wound in our lives. I'd say, I guess I didn't know them. So what this verse is saying, it's an important key, and one that I think we miss so often, is trust in the Lord. Now, I think culturally we have a problem there. I think in all the times I sat through class in history, we didn't come from a culture that had lords. You know, maybe back in the days of slavery, so we have very negative connotation towards it. We hear the words master or lord, which makes it really important to know why he's called Lord. So let's dig into that. Worldly living versus kingdom living. I titled this, What Are You Concerned About? Matthew 6:25. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink. How many of you are thinking about food already? When I grew up, you had to roast in the oven already. You know, so a certain time people are like, okay, is it going to burn? Or about your body, what you will wear. I can tell you, once I hit a certain age, couldn't care less. If it shows, yeah, I talk to the wife. Because I just don't care. Is that life more important than food and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Now, you should be answering all these in your mind as you're hearing them, right? Because it's laying out all the things worldly living is concerned about. All this stuff, right? There's a lot of stuff. And if you listen to the media, there's even more stuff. And most of it is just stuff that should go right in the garbage and out of your life. It's just stuff. And it'll pile on you. And it's hard to get off of you. You know, it's just this sticky, gooey garbage. Worldly living, really, it's rough. You weren't meant for worldly living. You were meant for kingdom living. And the key is knowing him as Lord. Look at the birds of the air, I know I said this. They do not sow nor reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Some of you do not acknowledge that you're more valuable. God wants to heal that in your perspective today. You need to understand the worth he has placed upon you. And don't disgrace him by negating it. He gets to determine your value. You do not, and the person sitting next to you does not. He determines it. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grasses of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. There is the heart of the difference between worldly and kingdom living, what you pursue. If life is a struggle for you, check what you're pursuing. Miles Monroe, really liked him. I was really sad when he had a plane crash and passed. I think he had just wonderful revelation about the kingdom of God. He defines a kingdom as the governing influence of a king over his territory, impacting it with his personal will, purpose, and intent, producing a culture, values, morals, and lifestyle that reflect the king's desires and the nature for his citizens. What is that saying? Saying everything about the kingdom goes back to the king. Best way of putting it. If you're in the kingdom, goes back to the king. So let's get into his kingdom. First, what does it mean? Every king is a lord. As Lord, he owns his domain and everything in it. See, you were bought with a price. Psalms 24:1 says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. So technically, there should be no such thing as worldly living. Because the earth was created and all those who are in it, right, to be reflective of the king. Adonai, word for Lord, means proprietor or owner, often translated as Lord. See, trust in the Lord. Submission to a king as Lord positions the citizens to receive from the king. I want to say that again. How you position yourself determines how you receive. Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. It says, whatever we submit to, or whenever we submit to a king, we come under their welfare. So when we come to God and say, I'm a sinner, save me, we place ourselves under his care. He saves us. He cleanses us by his blood. But we have to understand there's more to it when we acknowledge him as Lord. Now when I place my life into his hands, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Completely surrender your everything to him. Why? Because then he has to take care of everything. You want to hold something back? Don't blame him if stuff's not going the way you want. It's your fault. I'll even go as far as saying it's never his fault. It's our own ability to choose to place ourselves in a place of submission so we can receive. See, the citizens of the kingdom become the personal responsibility of the king. And we submit by declaring him Lord. See, that should be a really big revelation to you, because a lot of us get, we walk around with all these things on us, and we don't know how to get them off of us. You know, and these are all the things of life that he wants to take care of for you. Who are you pursuing, or what are you seeking? Because if your priorities are right, a lot of it is already taken care of for you. Are there stipulations? Sure, there always are in relationships. You have to conduct yourself a certain way around me, or you're not going to be around me. There's stipulations. See, the king must be first in everything. It's a complete surrender. Otherwise, he isn't Lord. I loved the question that Aubrey asked when she spoke. I said it last week too. She said, do you trust him completely? And the truthful answer is, you don't. I'm not saying you don't want to. I'm saying there's things that you're holding on to instead of surrendering. There always are. It's a process we go through in our journey with the Lord. He shows us the things that we can handle walking through so we can release it to them. Then the next day he shows us something else that we can release to them. Very few people get to release everything at one time. Probably because they wouldn't. Fact is, we have to learn to trust him. Why? Because we don't know him. I don't fully know my wife. There's still for me to abundance to learn. And it doesn't matter how many times I ask, I have to experience, I have to walk through life with her. You get to walk through this life, this temporary life, with the Lord. Every day you will learn something new. Every day he will show you a new facet of himself. Every day he will prove himself, and you can rest in that. Difference between worldly living and kingdom living. Luke 9:23. Then he said to them all, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. Matthew 10:37. Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Matthew 8:21. Another disciple said to him, Lord, first, let me go and bury my father. But Jesus told him, follow me and let the dead bury their own dead. What am I saying? He must be first. If there isn't complete surrender, he's not first. If he's not first, he's not Lord. If he's not Lord, you're not trusting on him because you're not knowing him as Lord. And there's something within your inner man, your heart, that you need to surrender to him. You have that opportunity, not only today, but every day. He is above every other love and loyalty. He is above every goal, every dream, every ambition. He must be first or he isn't Lord. Luke 6:46 says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? I will show you what he is like who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. He is like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it because it was well built. But the man who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. See, there's no such thing as lordship without obedience. Don't even ask him to speak to you if you aren't interested in doing what he has to say. Why waste his time, even though time's not relative to him? It is to you. Why seek an answer that you don't want? I don't know. I think that way. Maybe you don't. I want to hear you, Lord. Oh, no, I don't want to hear something else, Lord. No, I'm going to ask again, and maybe you'll answer me different this time. Not surrendered. Living under lordship means giving up personal ownership. If we think ownership is ours, we make ourselves Lord. Right? Kids are like that. That's mine. See, in the kingdom, there's only one Lord. It ain't you. Not me. Relinquishing ownership puts us into the position of full access to the resources of the kingdom. If we are only stewards and not owners, we can give freely as the Lord has given to us, knowing he has no limitation to supply all we need. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Philippians 4 phrases it this way, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So you're going to supply everything you want. He does for me. I'm a pretty simple man. I don't know that I have any wants. Healthy family, church that's excited about the Lord. I have everything I want. Because when it comes down to it, I just want him to be Lord. That's all I want. I can't focus on that much. If I can just nail this one thing down, he'll take care of the rest. Every need is met in him. Every need. I can cast it all upon him if I just seek him. Says he'll meet all my needs. He's my only want. Long time ago, my mother was given a word that her children would never lack. They'd always have what they want. And I can say that has been fulfilled over and over in my life because he's all that I want. And he's always faithful. He always shows up. He's always there. I never have to look that hard. Living under his lordship means he takes care of all that. Thanksgiving is an acknowledgement of his lordship. Psalms 100, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Do you know who he is as Lord? He's good. He is faithful. He takes care of you. It is his glory to see you prosper. He wants to move you from a mindset of lack to a mindset of abundance. So you're supposed to live now abundantly. Philippians 4, 6, do not be anxious about anything. You shouldn't come to church with anxiety. You shouldn't go home with anxiety. You shouldn't wake up with anxiety. You shouldn't go to bed with anxiety. You shouldn't have anxiety. Why? He's Lord. He bought you with a price. He took all that stuff off of you. Don't put it back on. In everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. I'm doing all right. Okay. I want to talk about recognizing him as Lord versus knowing him as Lord. I don't mean to cast stones at the church or anything, but I think some of the challenges we've had in our own personal lives or in our corporate lives, our fellowship together, is we have no problem recognizing him or acknowledging him as Lord. But we haven't fully figured out how to function having made him Lord. And there's a difference between just simply recognizing he's Lord and knowing and making him Lord. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Not everyone that recognizes him as Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven. But only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. In Luke 13, it says, and he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open for us, and he will answer and say to you, I do not know you. Where are you from? Then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. But he will say, I tell you, I do not know you. Where you are from, depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. Matthew 25, 1, coming down the home stretch. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out and meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came, also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. See, it's not enough to recognize he's Lord. Just because you know my name's Bruce doesn't mean you know me. Matter of fact, I would say most of you don't know me. Some of you might not want to know me. Right? You know, some of you have overcame great difficulties to know me. That's truthful. Yeah. And those of you that have paid the price, hopefully would say it's worth knowing me. It's worth knowing the Lord. It's not enough just to recognize him as Lord. You have to know him. Philippians 2:5. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, without spending much time going into this passage, I want to acknowledge a couple of things. Jesus is Lord, came to earth and said, I can't be close to being Lord, so I have to completely surrender my life to God, which he did successfully. So God took and exalted him. Right? You have to understand the picture of trust in the Lord with all your heart and see what God does from Jesus, our example. So what am I saying? He moved Jesus from a state of worldly existence to a place of heavenly existence for all eternity, to the point that everything in this world will bow and acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. Do you understand what he wants to do with life in abundance for you? Do you even begin to get the revelation of what overflowing life is in Jesus? It's right here. Anything you're going through, he went through, conquered, and is victorious, and said, the victory is yours. Live as an overcomer. You have a place in him to rise above every aspect of worldly living and live in his kingdom and rise above it and show everyone in this world that something's different. He's Lord in my life. I can trust him with everything. I can completely surrender. I carry no burdens. I lack nothing. I want nothing because I have it all in him. Do you understand what you've been given? Trust in the Lord with everything you are and watch him prove himself. You don't have to wait for eternity to live in eternity. See the goodness of God in the land of the living. You need to know him as Lord.
So in conclusion, stand with me. Romans 12:1 says this, and this is my call to you guys today. Because
I think it's really important in our times together that we pause corporately and individually to let God speak. So I'm going to ask you not to run out. I'm going to ask you to find a place. I want you to do this. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer yourself as a sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, because you are. And he receives it as worship. I'm asking you to present yourself to the Lord. Acknowledge him as Lord. Declare him as Lord. Declare you are his. Let him have ownership. Tell him you want to know him as Lord. Let him speak to you, because he's given you a key to kingdom living. And it's giving yourself to him so he can give you that which he died for. Proverbs 3, verse 5 says it this way: trust the Lord with all your heart. So if you could put on some music. Heavenly Father, we just want to pause and seek you first. And Lord, we want to move past acknowledging you as Lord. We want to move towards knowing you as Lord. So truly we can say, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And I live for the glory of your name. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Your favor, your blessings, your abundance on every person here. I pray that as they seek you now, Lord, they would find you. Draw them deeper in relationship with you. Let them know it's every moment, every day that they walk in the fullness of your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed. Find a place with the Lord right now.